Let us pray. Most loving God, who did send thy Son to be born in a manger, and who hast in every age called prophets, pastors, ministers to bring the good tidings of great joy, we thank thee for these gathered here, whom thou hast also called. Reassure them this day of thy continued presence and care, and of the great resources of thy undergirding strength. Confirm them as thy faithful servants, bringing light into darkness, proclaiming anew the glorious gospel of the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Will you please hear the reading of sacred scripture as found in the 6th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah? It was in the death year of the king Uzziah that I saw the Lord, his trailing garments filling the temple, occupying a high and exalted throne. Six winged flaming ones standing ready over him, each one with six wings. With two wings he kept covering his face, with two he kept covering his feet, and with two he kept flying. One would call out to the other one and say, "Holy, holy, holy Yahweh of armies." The other one would say, "His glory is filling all the world." The foundation of the post of the entrance would totter back and forth from the voice of the proclaiming one, and the house would get smoke-filled. And then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined. Since my eyes have seen the King Yahweh of hosts, I am an unclean-lipped person. And besides, I live in the midst of an unclean-lipped people." But then one of the flaming ones with a glowing ember in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from right off the altar, flew unto me and was putting it against my mouth. Then he was saying, "Attention, you! This has touched against your lips. It has turned away your moral twistedness, and your failure record is completely covered over." And after that, I could hear the Lord's voice saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then I was saying, "Hey, send me." So then he was saying, "Go, and let be said to this people, listen very carefully and understand thoroughly. Look ye well and know by experience. Make this people's heart prosperous. Also cleanse its ears and unblindfold its eyes, that it may see with its eyes, and that through its ears it may hear. Then its heart will discern and repent. Then will come healing." And then I said, "Well, Lord, until when? How long? when to stop. So he was answering me, don't stop before cities waste away from lack of a dweller, and houses waste away from lack of people, and the land become a ruined and utter and total desolation. And don't stop before Yahweh shall have removed the human creature from the earth far away, and the forsakenness throughout the land is multiplied. For though the land be subject to destruction repeatedly, still a remnant remains in it, just as a terebinth tree and an oak tree, which, when they have been cut down, still have life sap in the stump. So it is with the land. Her memorial is the seed of God's holiness.
Hear the word of God from the New Testament, the 26th chapter of Acts. Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." Then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. "I think myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, that I am to make my defense this day against all the accusations of the Jews, because you are especially familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and at Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived a Pharisee. And now I stand before you on trial for hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by the Jews, O King. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only shut up many of the saints in prison by the authority of the chief priest, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Thus, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priests. At midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who were journeying with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It hurts you to kick against the goads.' And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and to bear witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those at Damascus, and then at Jerusalem, and throughout all the country of Judea, and also even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and perform deeds worthy of their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. And to this day, I have had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here, testifying both to small and great, saying, nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're mad. Your great learning is turning you mad. But Paul said, I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking the sober truth. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time you think to make me a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Then the king arose, and the governor, and Bernice, and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
It's a good time of year to celebrate so many things. And that's why we're delighted that you're here as a part of one of the highest days on this campus through the entire academic year. 3 or 4 years ago, we began again to have a winter graduation. Now there are as many graduates in this class at midterm than as there were originally in our May classes. So the seminary has grown. Part of that is because you have had a part in helping persons get here. We know for a fact that we do not come to a day like today isolated or insulated from so many of you in the churches who have prayed with, counseled with, journeyed with these students now graduating to come to this campus and find the heart of this seminary. So we welcome you and greet you gladly near Christmas time on behalf of all the members of the graduating class. There are many, many people in this room who ought to be recognized. There are graduates today from 20 of the states of the United States and countries overseas. May I recognize on behalf of all of us two of our guests from countries far away. One, an alumnus himself, the Reverend Hayakawa, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Yokohama, Japan, is here celebrating graduation with his daughter, Izumi Hayakawa, who will be receiving in a moment her MRE degree. Pastor Hayakawa, would you stand and let us greet you? Welcome from Japan. Some years ago, all of us were troubled when we heard of an unplanned change of government in the nation of Liberia. During that time, the president of Liberia was killed. His nephew, Michael Talbert, has been in this student body almost ever since that tragic day. His aunt has now been given permission to travel and is in this country and is here in our graduation celebrating this high day with her nephew, Michael, who will be receiving his MDiv with religious education in a moment. There are other members of the Talbert family, Mrs. Victoria Talbert, and members of the family. Would you stand and let us welcome you? You know that Dr. and Mrs. Talbert were president of the Baptist World Alliance at the time of his death. God bless you and our brothers and sisters in Christ in Liberia. Wayne Brown is a representative of the seniors, and he has a presentation to make.
President Lally, Dean Ashcraft, as a representative of the senior class, it is indeed my joy, my privilege this morning to present to Southeastern Seminary a check for the establishment of an endowed fund to provide equipment and learning aids for the use by the visually handicapped students of our seminary. The fund, which is established in the memory of Mr. Wesley Williams, is to be used at the discretion of the librarian.
Thank you very, very much. Wes Williams was a faithful student of this school, laboring under considerable difficulty physically all the days of his enrollment here, and his enrollment was interrupted. And he had the grand graduation a few months ago when he died. This class is not unaware of his presence today and his spirit still among us. And I'm not unaware that this class shows special spirit in selecting a way to help other students, many of them like Wes. Thank you, one and all, on behalf of all of us who will try our best to be good stewards of your investment in the future at Southeastern. It's traditional that a member of the faculty be selected to deliver the charge to the graduates during graduation exercises. This year, that charge will be delivered by Professor Thomas A. Bland, Professor of Christian Ethics and Sociology. He will do that following our singing of O Come All Ye Faithful.
President Lally, Dean Ashcraft, honored guests, and members of this December graduating class. The degrees you have earned and the diplomas you will receive today are evidences of the approval of this seminary as you engage in varieties of Christian ministries in the contemporary world. These credentials, which you have earned, are extremely valuable, and I congratulate you at this time of your commencement. What I want to talk with you about for a little while this morning is the necessity to relate your own perception of God's call to the tasks of Christian mission and ministry. I choose to speak with you about something that is deeply personal, because God deals with each of us in distinctive, if not unique, ways. I also speak with you about something I believe to be absolutely essential to authentic Christian ministry, an inner persuasion of a divine call to salvation and to service, and a response of free and obedient love to take up specific assignments in Christ's redemptive work in the world. The Christian doctrine of Revelation deals with God's self-disclosure and with the human response thereto, including human interpretation and implementation. One of the metaphors employed in the scripture to describe God's revelation and human response is that of vision, with strong language of seeing, hearing, speaking, dialoguing, arguing, and obeying. Although sophisticated 20th century minds react with skepticism to literalism in these matters, persons of faith perceive that the language of the senses, while always inadequate vehicles of attempted descriptions of the ineffable mysterium tremendum, convey, nevertheless, essential, indeed destiny-determining reality. In the scripture lessons read today, there are two case studies of persons whose mission and ministry were shaped by their vision of God. Isaiah related the vision received near the beginning of his ministry to the vocation whose fulfillment lay before him. Paul, near the end of his life, reported while on trial before Agrippa that he had not been disobedient to what he called the heavenly vision. From the prophet Isaiah and the apostle Paul, I derive and commend to you today models of my charge to you. Go forth into your ministry with the vision of God ever before you. Recognize that the vision of God is always joined with a summons and a commission to action. The vision of God and the specific mission and ministry are inextricably intertwined. Moreover, my prayer for you and for myself is that when we come to the end of the journey, we shall be able to look backward and say, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. I call you, therefore, this day to expose yourselves to the ever-fresh winds of God's purpose, to live in that awesome, exhilarating vulnerability of those who walk by faith, to face up front in your ministry those two seductive impostors called success and failure, to ask God to give you the grace and the good sense, always to recall that his one requirement of you as a minister of the gospel is that you be faithful to him and to the gospel. I challenge you this morning to take into your inner life Clarence Jordan's Cotton Patch translation of Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the turning of dreams into deeds. It is betting your life on the unseen realities. I challenge you, preachers, pastors, teachers, ministers of music, ministers of Christian education, chaplains, missionaries, or whatever else you are or shall become in that endless line of splendor of those who are the servants of God in his kingdom. Heed this word of the Lord from J.B. Phillips' translation of a part of the 12th chapter of Romans. He has it read this way. As your spiritual teacher, I give this piece of advice to each of you. Don't cherish exaggerated ideas of yourself or of your importance, but try to have a good estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith that God has given to you all. For just as you have many members in one physical body, and those members differ in their functions, so we, though many in number, compose one body in Christ and are all members of one another. Through the grace of God, we have different gifts. If our gift is preaching, let us preach to the limit of our vision. If it is serving others, let us concentrate on our service. If it is teaching, let us give all we have to our teaching. And if our gift be the stimulating of the faith of others, let us set ourselves to it. Let the one who is called to give, give freely. Let the one who wields authority think of his or her responsibility. And let the one who feels sympathy for his or her fellows act cheerfully. As you translate your own vision of God into your unique response in the mission and ministry in which you will engage, I challenge you to remember that God and his creative, judging, redeeming work will always be bigger than mine or your clearest vision of him and of that work. The Creator God, who is the source of all things, envisioned and created a world at one with the Creator. Although the hope of the Creator God to bring about his shalom, his peace, his wholeness has been thwarted, this vision is not a fantasy. He has the power to fulfill this dream, and he has called you to be a part of that fulfillment. Moreover, and on the threshold of Christmas, we joyfully acknowledge that the Creator God is also the Redeemer. His Son, whose earth walk began at this season we commemorate, is the world's only Savior. And we join hosts angelic and tongues of every tribe and race and people of all the ages to announce the good news of Emmanuel, God with us. That night when in the Judean skies the mystic star dispensed its light, a blind man moved in his sleep and dreamed that he had sight. That night when shepherds heard the song of hosts angelic choiring near, a deaf man stirred in slumber's spell and dreamed that he could hear. That night when in the cattle stall lay child and mother cheek by jowl, a cripple turned his twisted limbs and dreamed that he was whole. That night when o'er the newborn babe the tender Mary rose to lean, a loathsome leper smiled in sleep and dreamed that he was clean. That night when to the mother's breast the little king was held secure, a harlot slept a happy sleep and dreamed that she was pure. That night when in the manger lay the sanctified who came to save, a man moved in the sleep of death and dreamed there was no grave. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Let us keep the clear vision of Christ the Redeemer. Let us remember that God tailored a robe, a royal robe of redemption, precisely adequate to be the answer to the sin and the evil in this world. Stuart Kennedy said it, and I believe it. He was a gambler, too. My Christ, he took his life and threw it for a world redeemed. And ere his agony was done, before the westering sun went down, crowning that day with crimson crown, he knew that he had won. Proclaim too the risen Christ, exalted as Lord, before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Holy Spirit will enable you to turn your dreams into deeds, your vision of God into effective mission and ministry. The Spirit will instruct those who are teachable. The Spirit will correct those who are misled. The Spirit will empower those those who opened their lives to God and helped them to claim, as Jesus promised, that they shall do even greater works than did Jesus in the days of his flesh. In a little while, with diploma in hand, you take your place in a service of God, and as you go, keeping the vision of God before you, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Well do we know that a graduate comes to this moment with many people in whose debt he or she sits and soon stands and receives a diploma. Sometimes it is family, other times it is friends. Always in our seminary, it is an unseen host of Southern Baptists and other Christians who may be strangers to us in the faith, but who are brothers and sisters with us in the heart, whose sacrificial gifts make it possible for us to do our work. We want to recognize every friend and relative of every graduate today. So when your relative or friend is receiving his or her diploma, would you stand and remain standing while they're coming across the platform and receiving their diploma, and thus signify to them and to us the partnership which prevails in this task we share. Now, Dean Ashcraft, we're ready to confer degrees upon the candidates approved by the faculty.
Will the candidates for the Associate of Divinity degree please stand? President Lally,
Ashcraft,
I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the Associate of Divinity degree, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Associate of Divinity, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, come forward and receive your diploma.
Nancy Alice Jackson. Patsy Philbeck. John James Schmitta. Ruby McKelvey Taylor. Will the candidates for the Master of Religious Education degree please stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the Master of Religious Education degree, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Religious Education. with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, come forward and receive your diploma.
Izumi Haakawa. Diana Champlin Hensley. Max Craven McClellan. Elizabeth A. Wilkinson. Will the candidates for the Master of Divinity degree please stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all the requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the Master of Divinity degree, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and upon the authority invested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon every one of you the degree Master of Divinity with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of Marshall, as your name is called, come forth and receive your diploma.
Donald Warner Aylesworth. Clarence Ralph Allen. Timothy T. Amin. Vicki Johnson Angus. Carrington Lee Bailey in absentia. R. Richard Bailey. L. Dean Barley. Alice B. Bates. Burl Robert Best. Lawrence Richard Booth. Robert Wayne Bowen. Paul Zane Brown. Philip Eugene Bruce. Larry Lee Burkhart. William Stewart Burroughs. Gary Allen Carter. Kenneth L. Childers. Sandra Jean Connor. Melvin Bruce Copeland. Edwin Norman Cosby. David Woodbury Cox. Betty J. Davis, graduating in absentia. Robert Andy Dickard. Joe Allen Donaldson. Roger Nelson Fair. Claudia Nicholson Forrest. George Hiram Fuller. John Randolph Gaines. Christopher Reginald Gamble. Michael Lacey Gibson. Arlie Griffin. Carlton Ray Gunter. Norman Blaine Harris. Gregory Lee Hensley. Irving Weymouth Herrick. Richard T. Holder, in absentia. Mary Tyson Holland. Excuse me, Mark Tyson Holland. William Clifford Houston. Robert David Hudson. Thomas Bourne Huggins. Charles Hilliard Humphreys. Johnny Marshall Hunt. Richard Austin Jacobs, in absentia. John J. Jansen. Bill Michael Jones. Benjamin Kwong Koo Kim. Clifton Timothy Kirkland. Guy Alton Langston. Horace Watson Larracy. Sarah Wood Lee. William Sean Lee. Charles Winton Leonard. David Eugene Lockaby. Carrie Sheldon McElveen. Mark Etheridge McIntyre. Michael Gill McKee, in absentia. Carter Wayne Mayberry. James Guy Mackey. Paul Ashby Manson, in absentia. Edward Allen Matherly. R. John Melanson. Christine Marie Milam. Carlton Gardner Miller. Reginald Ronald Stephen Morgan. Dennis Winston Murphy. Conrado Enrique Navarro. Charles Edward Newton. H. Richard Honorecker in absentia. Ronald Jean Parr. Charles Albert Parrish. Richard Hal Pendleton. Charles Randolph Pettit. Charles Eugene Poole. Wayne Eugene Rabin. Terry Lynn Reeves. David A. Rickard. John Lee Robbins. John Timothy Robertson. Barry Brooks Roberts. Donald Owen Robertson. Jeffrey Scott Rogers. Roger Jordan Roller. Jeffrey Dean Rollins. Constance Lynn Russell. Stephen O. Sanders. Marianne Southey in absentia. Ronald A. Southey in absentia. Timothy Leon Saunders. Don Wilbur Sawyer. Stephen Michael Scarborough. Gloria Diane Sexton. James F. Shackelford in absentia. James Richard Skelton. Oliver Clayton Skerritt. Bobby Eugene Smith. Carl Lee Smith. Granville Earl Smith. William Kenneth Sorrell. Earl Jackson Spivey. Michael Schramm Therrell. W. Stephen Thornton. Michael William Talbert. Charles Julian Toole. Kenneth Edward Tucker. Jerry Wayne Usher. Harry Richard Vanderford in absentia, Anne Roxing Vincent. Clyde Lee Waden. Sidney S. Wanzer. Haruko N. Ward. Philip Harvey Wall. David Lee Weeks. Byron Wells Wilkinson. Peggy Ormsby Witt. William J. Witt. Gordon Allen Wright. Hobson Scott Wright. John Michael Wright.
You will note, please, that in the Master of Divinity degree, there are five categories: with religious education, with languages, with religious education and languages, with church music, with religious education and church music. Each of these has been noted on your program.
Will the candidates for the Master of Theology degree please rise? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Theology, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Theology, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, in the direction of Marshall, as your name is called, you will come forward to be invested with a Master of Theology hood and to receive your diploma.
Michael James Lovett. Philip W. Norwood. Juan Schick Ohm, graduating in absentia. William Charles Suttles. Will the candidates for the Doctor of Ministry degree please stand? President Lally, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Doctor of Ministry, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Doctor of Ministry, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, in the direction of the Marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to be invested with the Doctor of Ministry hood and to receive your diploma.
Richard Martin Barber. Ralph Franklin Carter. Thomas Robert Coy. Charles Wade Dellinger. Terrence Emmett Granger. Robert Arthur Phipps. Paul Mitchell Sorrells. Dennis Leland Stamey. David Lee Whiteman. Jesse Thomas Yarbrough.
Seminary hymn is a gift to this school, gifted to us by a much-loved and cherished professor, Dr. E.A. McDowell, Jr. We join the graduates now in singing it as we stand.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we have some bad news and some good news today. Let us start with the bad news first. Fighting, hatred, and killing seem to be all around us. We see the race for power and superior nuclear arms when we have enough weapons to destroy life on Earth. We see saddened faces of hungry and homeless people, many who are dying daily. Devastation has even hit many of our homes and families, with almost one out of every two marriages ending in divorce. The world seems to be crying out, "What is the answer? Is there any hope?" Thank you, there is good news. You are the hope of the world. You are the light that fathoms all darkness. And the light is for all time, and the love is for all people. These graduates are a sign of your presence. Help them to be bearers of your light to a seemingly dark world. As the world sees these graduates and the rest of us here today, let it see you in your greatness. Help the world be able to say, "Isn't God good?" Yes, there is hope, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace. In his name we pray. Amen.